Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Carla Wynn Hall, and today on Women of Wisdom, best-selling author Wynn Kelly Charles welcomes Dr. Dorothy Guy Bonvillian. Dorothy formed... I'm very much hearing myself talking, so hold on. Let me find out where I see that at. Go ahead, Wynn.
Hi. Can you hear me? Well, welcome to Women of Wisdom, everyone. And I'm going to take over because apparently Blog Talk is having one of those days, and my guest is late, but I didn't want to tell you guys that I will be speaking in North Carolina. So if you're in the area and want to come down and see me, that would be wonderful. I'm happy to do that. And the reason why I'm doing this speech is not only for women's empowerment, it's for my own personal fan base. I mean, it's so funny because people will say to me, we know your voice, we know your picture, but we don't know you. So this ought to be good. I also have another little project secretly that I've been working on since last Thursday, and it finally came about last Sunday, so I'll announce that when it's official, and that's going to change everything now, because not only with North Carolina, and I just found out I may be doing a public speech up at, based off of UVA, which is University of Virginia. That's a whole nother story in itself of why I go up there, why I do this enrichment course with the kids, why I call myself a guest lecturer, because I call myself a guest lecturer because this is what I do. I speak for the disabled. And those of you who are listening that know me really well know that I will stand in the fire for my kids. And I will stand in the fire for every disabled individual out there. And from a veteran to a preschooler, basically, I will go above and beyond the call of duty. I mean, it's pretty unique what the relationship I have with my fans, and it's pretty unique how many people will automatically say, I saw you on Facebook, I wanted to come up and introduce myself. This will be the first time in North Carolina that I will have that happen, and I'm pretty excited about it. And I will have my notes with me. I swore I would leave in a vehicle, but because I'm speaking on women's empowerment and because I'm speaking on overcoming adversity and rejection in the workplace, it's not necessarily my story, even though my story is overcoming rejection by Mother Nature by all means, but it's not necessarily my story, so I'm a little bit freaked out if I don't have my notes, so get all scatterbrained if I don't have my notes. And the funny thing is, when I do public speaking, and this happened at Gona Ironman, and I have quickly discovered when I originally discovered this when I attempted Kona with my teammate. And I get mightily quiet on the way to these big events. And then once we exit the event, I don't shut up. So people that know me really well say I have a totally different persona. I have a totally different persona. And my poor aide, she puts up with me, but I love my team. And so it's going to be a totally interesting experience because UVA, when I did UVA last year around this time, it was a smaller classroom setting. Well, this is not necessarily a classroom setting. It's more of a stadium set up with Queens College, even though it is a college. But it's not necessarily a classroom setting. It's more of a public speech, which kind of scares me. That's why I'm bringing my notes.
You don't need to be scared.
My point of climb is saying I don't need to be scared, but I prefer that's my point of climb, Colin Hall, who introduced the show, who's actually my business partner, and I actually work with her business partner, Denise Thompson, and they land up doing Chocolate and Diamonds, which is their protocol, not mine, even though I'm joining it. And I was blessed enough to be in a women's empowerment, two women's empowerment books right after UVA. One was 20 Beautiful Women, compiled by Saba Takis out of Seattle, Washington. The other was compiled by my partner, Simon, who just spoke up, Colin Hall, and it was Empowered Women of Social Media, how social media changes our way of thinking. And those of you who can't make it to Queens College on Saturday to watch me speak, I'll be posting, as we all will, on Facebook, pictures of my little adventure. So those of you who can, I will be very grateful to you. And I have goodies for you. I have bookmarks. I brought two copies of both my books. So, yes, I promote my books right there. But this will be the first time. This will be my first official Facebook fan meet and greet, which I'm really excited about. I am nervous just because it's the first time of me speaking about women in the workplace. But it's so funny because I have three odd stacks against me. One, I'm a woman. Two, I'm in a job that highly sought after, but not necessarily given enough credit, which is speaking.
Right.
And then three, I have a disability. And so with Lakeisha Brooks, you know, I am the only disabled person speaking at this event. Which is sad, because there are a lot of disabled people with disabilities in Charlotte and in Virginia and in D.C. that she could have got. But no, she picks the one out of the bunch that lives in Carlisle, which is okay. But I'm honored and I'm flattered that she picked me, but it's kind of sad that she wouldn't go for the local population when you think about it, because I don't know. I must ask her. I'll ask her this on Saturday and report back to you guys next Monday when we do Women of Wisdom, whether she wanted motivational speakers or just the general population, because I am on my way to being a paid motivational speaker. I'm not there yet. I have decided you got to get in the trenches to get good enough to be paid. And what's the old adage? Practice, practice, practice to get to Carnegie Hall. Well, this is my Carnegie Hall, basically. And so all UBA is, whether you like to put UBA on that, is Carnegie Hall, I don't know. But you got to get in the trenches if you set your mind to something. You can't automatically say, I'm going to be a motivational speaker. That is just nuts. And so, and one of the tips I share with my viewers and my listeners and iPhones, the best thing since sliced bread, and every cell phone now, including the iPhone, has a video camera. And yes, UVA was videotaped by an award-winning photographer / videographer, yes. And I have one of those in my network. I can't believe it. But at Charlotte, since I won't have that luxury, I'm going to hand a person my iPhone and just have them take it that way. And what my world-renowned videographer does at UVA, which I laughed hysterically about when I got out of the guard to walk into the classroom, I said to him, and he knows this, he started laughing at me. I said, what, you forgot the big giant video camera? Because here I'm expecting the videographer to have, which we hired privately, to have the big giant video camera. No, he has a little Sony hand camera, and I'm like, oh, this is great. And so that's how we do it. We either do it with a small video camera or simply our iPhone. It doesn't matter, because now the quality of videos is fascinating. I mean, I've seen Carla's granddaughter sing on video, and yes, she does have a granddaughter. And
did you hear her counting in Spanish?
Oh, yes, I did hear her counting in Spanish.
She's not quite there yet. I think she said like 3,251,000 or something. I don't know what she said. I had to ask. She's going, uno, dos, tres, ocho, nueve, uno.
Yes, we're not quite there yet. But my main point being is Cola held the video camera up to her granddaughter as her granddaughter was blabbering away, and you could hear and see the video perfectly fine. And that's what I land up doing half the time with people on the East Coast if I need to talk to them and have them physically see my face. I land up doing videos of me, and then they nine times out of ten shoot me videos back, and it's wonderful sound quality. And I just have a pair of Bose headphones in right now, and I'm simply on Skype, so you don't need every little mic, you don't need every little expensive piece of machinery to do a podcast. I mean, I've had people do it on a cell phone sitting in a parking lot. I've had people do it from a classroom. I've had people do it from their kitchen. And so I land up Skyping with people 9 times out of 10, not in an office setting. I land up those who want to be on video camera with me, which 9 times out of 10 they do. They land up Skyping from a comfy chair in their living room, a comfy chair in their kitchen. I mean, I have a friend who's a book coach, and she is a self-published author, a best-selling self-published author. Part of her job is she does book coaching for authors. And every time I would meet with her, and she's based in Virginia, Beach, Virginia, and every time I would meet with her, she would be in her kitchen on Skype, and we would hear planes go over. And because she's steps away from a military base. And her name is Heather Hildebrand, and I want you guys to look her up online. She's absolutely phenomenal. What I learned based off of her is she's absolutely phenomenal. But my main point being is that you don't need to get all gussied up to be on Skype. I mean, Skype is just the audio. It's just the audio component that you need to do a podcast, not necessarily video, unless you do Google Hangouts. But Google Hangouts tend to have audio feedback, which drives me nuts due to my sensitive ears, and audio feedback drives me nuts. I'm exposed to music 24/7. I mean, music in my life has been in my life for almost 27 years, and I just feel like when people want to start a podcast, it's like jumping in with two left feet. But as long as you know what you're doing and I have some expertise, you can do it. And I'll happily teach you what I know from my experience. I mean, this is my way of giving back. People, 9 times out of 10, when I send them the simple WooFoo internet form with what I'm doing, people 9 times out of 10 say, "Wynn, I am truly honored that you picked me, and how did you find me, and let's do this." 9 times out of 10, they will say, "I have to think about it," which I do respect, because, granted, I have a disability, so, granted, people can understand me, but sometimes I do get a little bit tongue-tied, which doesn't really happen anymore. But that being said, as long as you are in the trenches enough, you can do anything you set your mind to. I mean, I have another business conduct based out of Toronto, and she calls herself the Manifesting Queen, and her name is Patricia Blanchett, and she calls herself the Manifesting Queen, and I'm meeting with her when I get back from North Carolina, and we're going to see what she has to offer me. And so when I set my mind to be a published author in 2012, I never thought I would be speaking at one of the top universities in the country. And I never thought I would be speaking at my original speaking legacy. And there's a story behind why I say that. And this is in my speech for North Carolina, so this is public knowledge. Because of my cerebral palsy, I wasn't speaking at the rate of a typical child. So by the time I was 4 years old, obviously parents all across the country want their kids to speak. Well, my mom and dad and the speech pathologist out here at the time had a connection with the University of Virginia, of all places. And so what they did is I was one of the three lucky participants in private home. And what they did is taught me how to speak within a week. And apparently I went up there speaking, but of course no one could understand me. So they were trying to do with my fine motor skills. And not only did they work on my speech, they did occupational and physical therapy with me for 5 hours. And I am sad to say that now that speech pathologist that I worked with up in Virginia is no longer on the scene. But when I tell people that that I was the original case study of the University of Virginia, people are amazed, especially at the end of a speech at UVA, which people just stand there stunned after I give a speech about Kona, doing the Kona Ironman, and I say, oh, by the way, I'm a prodigy of your speech pathology department. And it's like, they look at me like eyes wide open, and they're like, wow, we didn't realize that you were products of us originally, even though I guess the lecture, maybe someday I will get my degree out of there. God, I don't know. But in all hindsight, I am going back to school, just not UVA. In all hindsight, I only have a 2-year degree. So this September, I am going back to school to get my to finish out my associate degree, turn that into a 4-year degree, and then a running joke in my house is I'm going to get my doctorate in special ed, which, because I've been in the system, I've seen the system, what the system can do to these kids that have special needs, and they don't know what to do with the kids that have the epileptic seizures, thank you, Joshua, and have the cerebral palsy and have the speech impediment. I mean, they'll put these kids in special ed classes, which drives me nuts. My biggest wish is to integrate these kids with their peers, because peer teaching is the best medicine. I mean, when you throw on a CD in the classroom, it drives me nuts, because I hang around all these phenomenal singers that have the dream, but yet they don't want to use it. I don't think, up until I was in first grade, was a CD put on for any of the other students who were able-bodied in the classroom. I am trying to remember. I don't even think we had a CD player back in 1981, because of people wanted to enrich these kids. And that being said, we did not have iPads in the classroom, and we did not have iPads in the classroom. I shared something on Facebook yesterday, and it goes, I think it was from the Better Education Bureau, and it goes, the benefits of being in school, and you'll see the playground behind the kids, and the kids waiting at a bus stop, and of course, they're all looking down at their iPads, and my comment was, when I shared it, was only for assistive technology, please, only to make these kids speak better. Do we use iPads? Do I use iPads? Do I use a cell phone? And it's like, now you, the teacher is the iPad, and it's just drives me crazy. I should write a thesis on looking up from an iPad. I'll book or something. It just
you
drives.
Have to write that book. You've already claimed it. I want to jump in just for 2 seconds and tell you something that I've been observing. There are more and more parents who are also stuck to their cell phone and not paying attention to their kids. That's a problem, too. It's like craziness.
Yeah. Hello. Technology. Hello. Technology will be what it is. And it's so crazy. It's so nuts what they land up doing with technology, and I just want to write a thesis when I get my doctorate on technology and technology in the classroom and how I use it from a disabled vantage point, or write an e-book and publish it, and because it drives me nuts when I walk into a classroom and see iPads as teachers, and it's like I watch a teacher today come over and lean over a kid on the iPad to make sure the kid was doing what he was supposed to be doing, but then the teacher walked away, and I'm like, really, you guys really want to use these educational apps to teach these kids? What about playing London Bridge in the classroom? And what about singing and acting and doing performing notes in the classroom without an iPad? Oh, don't get me started. That's another whole bunk dog episode in itself. Win and education. Well, you heard a little bit about win and education, and you know by now that win will always be an educator, whether it's in the traditional classroom, which drives me nuts, or whether it's publishing books. I will always be educator, and I will end with this quote, once a teacher, always a teacher. And I appreciate all my team behind me, and my team and I are moving it out on Thursday. We'll be crisscrossing around the country, and we'll be crisscrossing around the country again and as of May 19th. And as soon as I know the public speech in Virginia, I will certainly let my fan base know, and especially my Virginia fan base, so that they can come down and support me. And I appreciate you listening to me ramble on, and I appreciate my team.
And we appreciate you.